Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As we continue with Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Expat, former BBC producer, covering the space program, where he, at one point, I guess, was sort of a colleague of the young Richard Hoagland. Did your paths cross in the way that you actually talked to each other in those days?
No, we never did speak, but we must have been in the same room. In particular, I'm thinking for the coverage of the Viking landings on Mars in July 1976. I was there the whole time, and I know he was there, so we must have been in the same room, but we didn't actually meet.
Well, okay. What do you think would happen if he found out who you really are?
Well, I don't think that he would take legal action against me, because I think that any attorney that he consulted about the possibility would tell him he wouldn't stand a chance. And also, I just don't think he really would, but I'm concerned because he has threatened it.
Well, obviously, even if you're sued, would we consider you a public figure or no?
I'm not a public figure, but he is.
Okay. So basically what that means is that you would have a problem suing him, but he'd have no problem suing you.
I have no intention of suing him whatsoever. That's never entered my mind.
That's okay. We understand that. Of course, people might want to sue me and Chris, but we are famous public personalities, so therefore there is no earthly reason why anyone would choose to sue us.
Hey, speak for yourself, man. I'm everybody's friend.
Yeah, right.
Gene, I once had occasion to be in dispute with WGBH, who produced the Nova series, and I actually got to the point of consulting a Hollywood attorney, and he's listened to my story very patiently, and he said, well, expat, he said, you're going to win. It's going to take about 3 years, and at the end of that time, you're probably going to look at me and you'll say, was it really worth it?
So you'd spend a ton of money, you'd win what you would win, as they say.
Yeah, I don't think people get justice from the so-called justice system very often, actually.
No. Waste of time and money, and all it does is feed that lawyer beast.
Well, it's like all the class action lawsuits against defective products. We understand if there's a defective medication because people die. But, you know, if like Siri on your iPhone doesn't work as well as you should, what is Apple going to do? Well, if Apple loses a lawsuit, they'll give you a $20 or a $10 coupon, a discount coupon. And the lawyers will make millions of dollars. Where's the fairness in that?
Well, let's get off this topic because it's not going to happen, but that is the reason why I'm concerned about my identity.
Okay, let's continue. Chris, you have any more questions before I proceed with mine?
Well, I do, and before we veer off Mars and go to the moon, I do have some interesting questions about both subjects from our forum posters. But, you know, I've talked with at length with Dr. John Brandenburg, and about a year and a half ago, he came up with a pretty interesting theory concerning Mars. And that has to do with some sort of nuclear event that he says we have all sorts of evidence to support that there was quite a large nuclear event. He doesn't quite go far out to say that it was somehow induced. He said that there is a possibility, obviously, that it could have been some sort of natural event. But are you familiar with the work of Dr. Brandenburg? And you know, he was the one that first proposed the idea of a whole ocean on the northern hemisphere of the planet. And then this revelation a year and a half ago about a thin layer of uranium, thorium, I think, in radioactive potassium that covers the planet. What's your take on that? It's very interesting. He told me privately that he suspects it may have been an airburst event. Of course, he hasn't publicly gone out and said that, but that's kind of his thinking. What do you think about his theories?
Well, Chris, I don't know about this at all. I must say this is complete news to me. I would very much doubt that there's any evidence for any kind of deliberate nuclear explosion on Mars. I do know that it's possible for such a thing as a natural nuclear reactor to happen if there's a sufficient concentration of uranium ore it can spontaneously start a chain reaction. In fact, I believe there was a case in Africa where that actually has been documented. But really, exactly. In terms of Mars, I really don't know. It's not my topic at all.
Yeah, he's come up with some pretty interesting information based on NASA's own science, basically. And he's interpreted it. He says about 180 million years ago, a planet-shattering nuclear reaction may have wiped out everything on Mars and turned the planet into dry sand, basically. He said there's a highly concentrated area in the Mare Acidulium region, I think. I'm just reading off an article here. And it filled the atmosphere with radioisotopes. And this data is being seen in recent gamma ray spectrometry taken, the data gathered by NASA. That's a pretty interesting theory there. so I was just curious if you were aware of that and the work of Dr. John Brandenburg. He has a very interesting book about Mars that I highly recommend.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, I don't know about it at all. I'm not being evasive. I'm just not familiar with that story.
Okay, yeah, he's by the way, just for your own information, he's a I think he's a propulsion scientist for Orbital Technologies up in Wisconsin, and he's a pretty bright guy, and he's written a couple of books about Mars, and I do recommend to our listeners and to you to check into his work. It's pretty out of the box. He's not constrained by the scientific community that is fully entrenched in this type of work. He's an outsider that's looking at it and doing his own analytical work. But it's pretty grounded in NASA's own data. So just for your listeners out there, I digress, of course. I always do.
Let's move on.
I do have some questions here, a couple of interesting ones. This comes from one of our tried and true posters who's been posting for a couple years, Sandem Fire. And he says, respectfully, my questions, is the moon made out of cheese? And if so, what kind? Is there really a man on the moon? And if so, do you think Mike Barra has met him? And would that make you jealous? we have some comedians on our... But seriously now, he also goes on and asks a third question. He said, with so much technology available to the average amateur astronomer, including very impressive astro-imaging hardware and software, for now the price has come down, it's modest priced, why do people like Barra continuously make claims about areas, objects, and locations on the moon that can be readily observed for several nights each month by literally hundreds, if not thousands, of observers? Such observations would clearly prove many of Barra's claims. This fact alone would be enough to encourage Barra's ilk to give up the ghost, since literally amateur astronomers around the world can disprove their claims by just looking up. In your professional opinion, why do you think Barra continues to make these claims?
Well, that's a very good point that your poster has there. It doesn't apply to all of the claims that are made by Hogan and Barra. I think that they would probably say that you wouldn't expect an amateur astronomer to be able to see what they call their glass domes. This has always amused me because they claim that there are glass domes across vast areas of the moon, and when asked, well, why are they not visible from Earth, from Earth-based telescopes, they say, well, of course they're not visible because they're made of glass. So they're transparent, of course, you dummy, you douchebag.
Well, wouldn't you be able to see light refracting through something like that? I mean, optics there.
Very likely you would, and indeed you would probably be able to see the supports, because there obviously has to be a supporting structure. There also has to be some kind of a factory to create these huge glass domes. There has to be a solar power plant to enable whatever alien race to have energy in order to do their manufacturing, and all of that would certainly be visible, but it's not there.
You know what's not going to be there? This show, if we don't give our sponsors a break. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Yeah. hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
My name is Gary Johnson. I approve this message. Of the many people running for president in 2012, only three will be on the ballot in all 50 states come November. For those of you worried I'll take votes away from the Democrat, and to those of you afraid I'll take votes away from the Republican, I say good. They deserve to lose your vote. Take as many votes as possible away from the people in both parties, keeping us in a state of perpetual war, increasing unsustainable debt, record joblessness, and a bipartisan economic death wish, ruining America for 330 million of us. Be libertarian with me for one election. If after 4 years you decide honest, effective government doesn't work for you, you can always vote failure back into office again. Live free.
Paid for by GaryJohnson2012.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the PowerCast, we have Expat, and he is here to provide what he regards as a reality check for Martian and lunar mysteries, specifically those propounded by people like Mike Barra and Richard Hoagland. And we just know that we're going to get ourselves in trouble over this show, but that's why we're here. We're always getting ourselves in trouble. Mr. Expat, did you have any further comments to make before Chris gets on with more questions from our listeners?
Yes, I just want to add that, that Mike Barra's recent book, Ancient Aliens on the Moon, there's a I plugged it for you, Mike. chapter 9 is all about what he says are the artifacts in one specific image from Apollo 11. And that is really the entire content of chapter 9. That's the one that he starts off with, that famous ziggurat. But he also says that he sees a gun emplacement, a drill, a beach house, a spaceship, which is curiously enough aerodynamic. I'd love to know why he thinks that there would be a need for an aerodynamic spaceship on the moon, which has no air.
Well, come on. We're talking about Dick Cheney's vacation home here, so you know, we have to cut some slack here.
Well, I think some of those things, if they existed, would be visible from good amateur telescopes, because they're quite big. The ziggurat itself, for example, is supposed to be 1 mile square. Now, that's quite big enough to be observable by a decent telescope from Earth. And so you'd have to ask Mike, why is it not there?
How about some things that have been seen? I have a question from ExoDoc to Expat. I guess we got a lot of Mr. X's here today.
It is the War of the X's featured on the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, during Apollo 16, Ken Mattingly observed flashes on the dark side of the moon on two consecutive orbits. Do you have any further information about this? And or do you have any thoughts on this? And he also mentions in a second question, in 1959, an astronomer named John O'Neill observed what he felt was a large bridge over, you know, some of these Latin words, Mare Crisium.
You can call it the Sea of Crises, if you like.
The Sea of Crises, okay, yeah. Well, John O'Neill, an astronomer, observed what he called a large bridge there. And British astronomer Dr. H. Wilkins confirmed a bridge-like structure a month later. What other bridge reports are you aware of, and what do you think of those?
Okay, let's deal with the Apollo 16 question first. I looked into this. I looked at the Apollo 16 mission transcript. I don't know if you know, but all of the mission transcripts are available as PDF files online, which is very useful indeed.
Now, of course, these people might assert that those transcripts are manipulated.
Well, all I can say is that here's what is available in the public transcript about the flash. This was at mission elapsed time 123 hours, 7 minutes. Mattingly says, I was looking at the horizon and there was a bright flash. It was below the horizon. Maybe I saw one of these bright flashes that everyone else has been seeing all day. You know, I can interpret that. All astronauts see flashes in their eyes due to the interaction between cosmic rays and the retina. This has been a well-known fact ever since the very first space flights. And apparently during Apollo 16... that would have been John Young and Charlie Duke were seeing these flashes, but apparently Ken Mattingly didn't until that time. So he says the flash was below the horizon, so maybe it was something strange down there, but on the other hand, probably I was just seeing a cosmic ray flash in my eyes. So that would be my explanation, that it was a cosmic ray flash, just like all astronauts see. It just happened to be below the horizon, so it was a little enigmatic.
You know, one of the problems in another field we cover, the UFO field, is we feel, Chris and I, that there are things going on that are not explained, but a lot of those lights in the sky are just lights in the sky. You know, they're natural explanations for them, stars, whatever.
Let's move on to the second part of ExoDoc, the bridge over Mare Crisium, the Sea of Crises. Actually, John O'Neill was not an astronomer. He was a science journalist, but it doesn't matter. Mare Crisium is 500 kilometers across. I don't really think it's credible that there would be a bridge that wide, and certainly there is no such bridge right now. We now have extremely good photographic coverage of the entire moon surface from the spacecraft called the Lunar Reconnaissance Observer. And you can look at Mare Crisium in a kind of detail of about 5 kilometers per, so, excuse me, 5 meters per pixel. And if there was a bridge, you would certainly see it on those pictures.
So now, it's not a bridge too far.
Not a bridge too far.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He asks, what other bridge reports am I aware of? That's pretty interesting. There are several small bridges on the moon. They are partially collapsed lava tubes. Generally speaking, a lava tube is very familiar to people who live on Hawaii. It's where lava flowed underground and made a little tube for itself. But then when the flow stops, the tube is evacuated and the roof sometimes collapses. There's one in particular that was discovered fairly recently, back in September 2010. It's over on the far side of the moon near a crater called King. And that is very easily visible on the Lunar Reconnaissance Observer site that I mentioned. Very interesting. People, scientists like these things because they are possible habitations. If you wanted to actually build a permanent base on the moon.
But of course, these are not things that were ever put there, you feel, by intelligent races from elsewhere.
Well, no, I don't think so. These natural bridges are quite easily explained.
Well, that leads me to a question from Godsmacky, who's one of our most active posters at forum.theparacast.com. And his first question is very simple. Do you think there are any unusual surface features on Mars, or the moon for that matter?
And we have only 30 seconds for the answer before our next segment. You want to start?
Okay, well, I'll be quick. Yes, there are very interesting features on Mars. And again, we have a wonderful library of images from the Mars Reconnaissance Observer. Just quite recently, they came up with a photograph of what they called spidery objects.
I'll tell you what, we'll talk about the spidery objects and what they mean with Expat. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMikes.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMikes.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMikes.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMikes.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMikes.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMikes.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Chris is getting into his trickster mode there as we explore the possibility of lunar and Martian mysteries and what might be the cause. And Expat, our guest this week, has been mentioning some stuff there in response to questions from our listeners. You want to continue?
Well, I have a couple of questions here from Gogsmacky and also from other posters about Richard Hoagland. And one question comes from Ufology, who's up in Calgary, Alberta. And the question is, can you please explain the theory behind Richard Hoagland's Accutron Space Densiometer, or whatever that is, and why you think it's either legit or not? And then a follow-up question deals with Hoagland's claim that he used military-type imaging software that is designed to look for artificiality in pictures. And he claims to have processed images from Cydonia that strongly show the face and other features that are very unnatural. What is your opinion of these types of claims and this technology, a densiometer? That's
yes, I know a lot about this. I've blogged about this several times. He does not call it a densiometer. He calls it a torsion field detector. The idea of a so-called torsion field is borrowed from some Soviet scientists. Their names were Akimov and Shipov, who studied what they called a space torsion field back in the 1980s. And they were funded for a while by the Soviet Academy of Sciences, but they very quickly had their funds yanked because the Academy determined that this was a complete fraud. And there was no such thing as a torsion field. Well, Richard Hoagland thinks that there is, and he says that he can measure it. And his point is this, that when the torsion field sweeps through any physical object, it would change that object's mass, because it actually changes the inertia of the object. And the way he measures that is with his Accutron wristwatch, made by Bulova. I would like to point out that the last time Bulova made an Accutron wristwatch was 1977, so therefore Richard Hoagland's wristwatch is at least 35 years old, maybe as much as 40. So it's not really a precision instrument. But anyway, the Accutron mechanism works with a tiny tuning fork. So Richard Hoagland reasons that the mass of the tuning fork will change when a torsion wave passes through it. And he says that he can measure that. And he's produced several traces that he's done with what is called a microset precision watch timer. This is a device that that times the tuning fork, basically the frequency, and displays it on a computer screen. And he's done that with the annular eclipse this year on May 20th, and the Venus transit this year on June 5th. And he says that he's proved that a pyramid amplifies the torsion field. He's posted these traces on his Facebook page. Unfortunately, this is completely invalid science, not only because of the 35-year-old technology he's using, but because he's not posted any controls or any baselines. In other words, we don't know what the normal behavior of this tuning fork is. So how can we say that we understand that it's...
How can you derive any deviation from something unless you supply some sort of baseline data? It doesn't make sense to me. Again, we're back to high school science.
Exactly. It, without baselines and controls, it's completely worthless. Also, by the way, there's something else. He had asked his Facebook fans to send him cash so that he could go to the Egyptian pyramid for the annular eclipse of May 20th. Oh, no, excuse me, for the Venus transit on June 5th. Well, about $2,000 rolled in, but he said that wasn't enough. So he didn't go to Egypt and didn't refund the money.
I would think a guy like that, though, could get more than $2,000 in donations. Speaking of someone who has on occasion asked for donations, and I'm not nearly as famous as he is, I think, based on the percentages, this should have been a slam dunk.
Well, it didn't work out for him. He didn't go to Egypt. Instead, he went to Sandia Peak, which is near his hometown in Albuquerque, or near Albuquerque. And he went to the terrace of a restaurant, which is halfway up Sandia Peak. And he said, oh, well, I think the Sandia Peak will stand in for a pyramid. And then he confidently declared that he had proved that by showing the trace during the Venus transit and said that this shows that I'm right, that a pyramid does indeed amplify the torsion wave. Well, unfortunately, he let drop something else when he was on Coast to Coast. He said that the Accutron watch had, quote, gone nuts for 12 hours nonstop during the summer solstice. Okay, that was not when he was at Sandia Peak. That was in his own backyard. So therefore, I think it disproves his point.
Wow. Well, I've been accused of accidentally calling Richard Hoagland.
You see, listen question. To me, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't want to get into trouble. Chris
no.
is going to be a nice guy. And
no.
then he... Says
it
the
just
word.
Slipped out,
I think,
Gene. I'm
sure,
I'm,
you know.
I'm sorry.
You didn't mean to say the H word.
No, I didn't. The X word.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
But how about this imaging technology that he claims that the military has imaging software that can look for artificiality in pictures? And he claims that he has processed images from his technology that strongly show the face and other features that are very unnatural. Again, this is a question from Gogsmacky.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't know about that. I have not heard that claim, and I don't think it's anywhere on his website. So, sorry, I can't comment on that one.
Well, since we're on the subject of imaging and claims of airbrushing and painting on negatives, here's a question from Trained Observer, again, one of our real tried-and-true posters at forum.theparacast.com. And he asks about Ken Johnston. And his story about seeing people airbrushing and painting on negatives, obscuring evidence of artificiality, that sort of thing. I mean, what do you think of these claims? There have been several over the years. I think there was a woman who was worked for NASA and claimed that there was a program in place to obfuscate evidence of artificiality on some of these images. What's your take on that?
I'm not suggesting that Ken Johnston has falsified the information at all. It may well be that Richard Hoagland and Mike Barrow have misunderstood him. But both Richard Hoagland and Mike Barrow have said that Ken Johnston reported that he wandered into a classified area one day and found people, quote, airbrushing the original camera negatives from the Apollo missions, from the Hasselblad cameras that the astronauts carried on the surface of the moon. There's a couple of big problems with that. One is that there were no camera negatives. The film that was loaded into those Hasselblad cameras was not negative film. It was ektachrome reversal.
Could you explain to our listeners what that means? Those of us who are non-photographers,
yes.
I'm familiar with what he's talking about. But
yeah, well, it used to be that everybody would understand if I said that the film was the kind that you used to make slides.
Okay, well, so slides, folks, you didn't need a negative.
Nobody ever does slides anymore.
Right, because very simply, when you took a photograph that was a slide, it was a direct image. It didn't require an intermediary negative.
Correct. It's just like one frame of a movie. In other words, it's a positive image, but in order to display it, you need to shine light through it rather than just look at it on a piece of paper.
On your Kodak carousel slide machine. I'm nearly reminded of that old Paul Simon song called Kodachrome. Expat joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
25 years is reason to celebrate. Cash in on October deals during the 25th anniversary of Emergency Essentials. Going on now, save 26% off clarified butter, 24% off honey oat granola, and save 50% off a kitchen fire extinguisher. A must for any kitchen emergency. Stock your car with a Roadwise Emergency 72-hour kit, only $34.99 at BePrepared.com. New this month, two varieties of Mountain House just-in-case buckets. Your favorite Mountain House pouches packed in a convenient bucket. Find a super deal this month only for the Gold Zero Lighthouse LED Lantern and Nomad 7 Solar Panel. Iosat Potassium Iodide tablets are on sale. And as always, check out the Emergency Essentials group specials now through October 31st. Call 800-999-1863 for exceptional customer service and Emergency Essentials low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or beprepared.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
Funny how we speak of Kodak and then we think about a company in bankruptcy, its better days behind it, didn't adequately adapt to the new technologies. We have expat joining Gene and Chris in the Paracast, completing answers to our listeners' questions. Expat, you had more to say.
Yes, the other problem with what has been alleged is that you cannot successfully airbrush a film negative. You have to understand that when you're going to print a negative, the paper on which you're going to print it on starts off as white, okay? Now, when it sees some light, it darkens. It can darken all the way to black, or it can find no light and therefore stay all white. And the degree to which any particular spot on the paper darkens depends upon the transparency of the negative. Okay, if a spot on the negative is entirely transparent, then that spot on the print will become black. If it's entirely opaque, then that spot on the print will never see any light and will remain white. Now, the problem with the allegation of airbrushing a negative is that you cannot successfully use an airbrush to make a part of the negative more transparent. That's impossible. You just can't do it. You can make it less transparent by spraying ink on it, I suppose, but nobody does that. So this story of changing,
easy to detect. I mean, come on. There's no way you could hide evidence of that. Well, what was again? Trained Observer kind of has a follow up question here about this. What was Ken Johnson's actual role at NASA? Do we know? James Oberg has reported that attempts to verify his claims of being a former Marine pilot have failed. And as you pointed out, his claim of seeing somebody airbrush or paint over a negative doesn't make sense, particularly if he is also allegedly an expert in photography. Do you know or do we know if he was actually a test pilot at NASA and the Space Administration Data and Photo Control Department manager? Do we know this?
Yes. I know the story very well. Let's start with Ken Johnston's service in the Marines. He served honorably as an aircraft technician and went and took training courses to become an F-4 pilot. However, he never finished that course. He never became a licensed pilot. And in fact, there was a change made between the first and second edition of the book Dark Mission by Richard Hoagland and Mike Barra. When it went to a second edition, they made the following changes. When the first edition said, after a tour of duty in the Marines as an F-4 pilot, he went to work at NASA as a chief lunar module test pilot. Okay, when it came to the second edition, they removed the words as an F-4 pilot and replaced them with the phrase where he trained in planes such as the F-4 Phantom, and they removed the words as a chief lunar module test pilot at NASA. That was for the second edition. Now, there's no doubt whatever that Ken Johnston did act as a technician for Grumman, who were the manufacturers of the lunar module, and he was an expert at the controls, and in fact he did serve as an instructor for the astronauts in how to fly the lunar module. And I also, again, will emphasize, he served his country honorably in the Marines. I'm not taking away from his service in any way. And I don't necessarily think that he falsified his bio to Mike Barra and Richard Hoagland. It may well be that they simply misunderstood it. Now, when we come to his service at NASA, he wasn't a direct employee of NASA. He was a contractor employed by Brown and Root, and his role was in the Lunar Receiving Laboratory dealing with the lunar rock samples. And his part of his role was to send out the lunar rock samples to scientists who had successfully applied for permission to analyze them. And along with the package, he had to send out any photographic support which would show exactly where the sample was collected and what its orientation was, and so on. And for that purpose, he had 4 or 5 complete sets of the photographs that were taken by all of the Apollo astronauts. Now, these were not the masters. Richard Hoagland and Mike Barra like to say that these were the original masters, but that is absolutely not true. The original masters were held in a completely different building. The complete Apollo photographic archive was nothing to do with where Ken Johnston worked. They were certainly early generation prints, yes, I would not deny that. But even today, you can order an early generation print of any NASA Apollo photograph you want. You simply have to pay them some money.
It's public property. One would hope that with all the tax dollars that have been spent, billions of dollars, furthering our knowledge of space, that the people that are footing the bill have access to the data. Well, here's something that's always puzzled me, and it leads me to a question by one of our oldest posters at forum.theparacast.com, Pixel Smith. And he wants to know if you are aware of Alan Sturm's ebook titled ULOs. And he brings up the whole subject of transient lunar phenomena, which have been reported all the way back hundreds of years since we first really, Galileo and subsequent early astronomers, of course, one of the first things that they looked at was the moon. And we have case after case after case after case of astronomers observing strange light flashes, objects seeming to transit across the face of the moon. Where do you come down on that whole very puzzling phenomenon?
Oh, yes, transient lunar phenomena unquestionably exist. One of the people who has documented them as much as anybody is the English astronomer Patrick Moore. And in the course of my work for the BBC, I came to know Patrick pretty well. And in fact, he and I went to Moscow together for to report on the Soviet, the so-called Lunokhod, which was a remote vehicle on the moon. Yes, Patrick has documented these strange flashing lights all over the moon. They don't seem to be grouped in the seas or the highlands. They're in all kinds of different places. And they are mysterious. They've been ascribed to outgassing, but that doesn't sound terribly convincing to me, actually. So I don't know what they are. They're definitely interesting. As for ELOs, I didn't know about that, but But I read about that in Mike Barra's book, Ancient Aliens on the Moon. There you go, Mike. I plugged it again. At the end of chapter 9, he actually talks about that book. And he shows a picture of what he calls a power station, which came from that book. He says, I can't look up the quote right now, but he says something like he had wanted this to be a much bigger part of his own book, but the author didn't want that, so that it was reduced to a kind of footnote.
What about objects that have been seen seemingly to go across the face of the moon? I know there's many dozens of astronomical observations that have seen what appear to be craft flying across in front of the moon, even groups of objects. And there's just, I've seen a list somewhere, it kind of escapes me right now, but I've seen a very impressive list of many pages of observations from the 16, 17, 1800s, 19th, 20th century of these unexplained transients across the moon.
Well, all I would say about that is that they're unexplained. I don't think we can go any further than that.
Well, where do you come down on the whole subject of UFOs? You know, obviously UFO is a very generic sort of blanket term, but do you feel that there are structured craft flying around in our atmosphere that we can't explain as being terrestrial, let's say, or being under some sort of human intelligent control? I mean, you befriended many people over the years and in the you know, the scientific community and in the space programs and stuff. I mean, where do you come down personally on this?
He's going to give his answer in a moment. Remember, folks, you'll find us on Twitter. Our name, The Paracast. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.